Mick and MJ in the morning, brought to you by Sportsbet. Nobody does it easier than Sportsbet.
Thought we'd start by talking about, well, I could explain it, or we could let the news services do it.
Lord David Clarkson has been crowned the newest Guinness World Record holder after a 24-hour-long pub crawl spanning more than 100 venues.
Well done. Wow. A 24-hour pub crawl, 100 venues. Who is this guy? A mate of Boonies. So, yeah, even Boonie would struggle to do this. And a beer at every pub.
Wow.
Well, that's gonna cost you about... That's about a $1.5 million pub crawl on today's prices. What do we know about this bloke, Tash?
He's incredible. A couple of red flags, right? He didn't consume alcohol at every single pub.
What?
Yeah. So I don't know how he actually
broke... That's not a pub crawl.
Correct. I don't know how he broke the record. And then he had a quick little nap to prepare before he started. 120 pubs, but... He had to consume a minimum of 125 mils of liquid before being consumed, and he consumed 20 litres of liquid in 24 hours, but consisted of juices.
Hang on. Sorry, are we talking about beer or...?
No. He had a couple of sherbets, but he mostly consisted of soft drinks and juices.
Oh, wow.
Oh, my God.
That's the Clayton's pub crawl.
But you die. 120 pubs. You couldn't
never have heroes. I built this guy up to be something special, and he's... What's he drinking at a pub? What's he drinking?
He was having soft
What's
drinks
the point?
And juices. I know. I don't think. I think it should be contested.
Oh, big time.
We will. No, the guy's a dickhead. Oh. He goes, and he's English.
Yeah, he's pommy.
You idiot. No, forget that. Mind you, it got me thinking, what's the one pub, 133353, if you're going to do a 100-pub pub crawl that you'd have to include? Come on, I'm looking for a bit of ground game here in Sydney, a bit of local knowledge. Tell me what it is. What's the one for you, MG?
Oh, well, I was there on Friday. My local pub is the Pioneer Tavern up on Northern Road in Penrith.
And the Pioneer Tavern. And tell me why you love it again.
Well, I've been going there since 1990, and... When we won the competition in 1991, we all went back to the Pioneer Tavern and they closed
Great
the pub
memories.
For us. And they
Great
and
now memories.
I've got my own schnitzel there, the MG schnitzel.
Oh,
the MG schnitzel?
Yeah.
How big is that? It'd be like a Fred Flintstones style schnitzel, wouldn't it?
It's half a chook.
All right, Kat, favourite pub for you?
Easily the Redfern. It's right on this corner street, so it's the greatest people watching in the world.
Ooh.
And then upstairs, if you're feeling a bit fancy, there's a cocktail lounge.
Hello. I'll meet you there after midnight. Tash, have you ever been inside a pub?
I have.
Like a normal pub. It's not a wine bar.
No.
It's not some kind of, you know... What?
In my younger years, my favourite was Paddington RSL because they had $2 schooners and there was a carpeted area so I could talk, because when you go into a lot of pubs, they've got wooden floors.
Right, you need to be able to talk, obviously.
What's that mean?
Wooden floors, it echoes a lot, so a carpeted area, you can actually hear people.
Oh, they would have ripped off that carpet quick.
One of my favourite gigs of all time is at the Paddington RSL. I did it once, asked people, so I still run into people who go to me, I was there that night. Let's just say it got out of hand pretty quickly.
What happened? Give us a snippet. Come on.
I can't.
A buzz
can't.
Why? Actually, anything?
Well, no, I can't. I think if you were there, you were there.
Come on.
Is it before the courts?
We'll find out.
Oh, if you were there, you need to call us.
It did involve hospitalisation. It involved having to leave through a back door. It involved nefarious activities from certain members of the community.
Oh, geez.
And I probably wasn't in the best shape.
What's
the best way to describe that?
Double deep dive, Tash.
No, we have said enough. What else? Oh, I'll tell you what I love. I love the Paddington Lord Dudley.
Yes.
Oh, yes.
It is a great pub. It's a really beautiful winter pub. The Lord Nelson.
Yep.
Yes. It's like in Bondi Junction because it used to be close to where we worked. Billy the Pig was downstairs, of course. And if anyone at Ravisi's can tell me if I'm allowed back into the premises, that would be handy too. 133353, let's go, people. Ring us up, tell us what is the absolute certain pub, the one at the top of the pyramid that has to be included on your pub crawl.
to the pub.
We're talking about your favourite pub, the one you've got to include on a pub crawl. Because some English twat did 100 pubs in Sydney in a day, didn't drink alcohol for some reason. Why would you do it? But it's got us thinking, what's your favourite pub? There's a few on offer. Someone mentioned Barron's. Tash, how the hell do you know about Barron's? What a great pub that was up on the Cross.
A friend of a friend. In the 80s and 90s, the Cross was great to go out in. The Barron's was where you knew you needed to go home. It was open to 5 or 6 o'clock in the morning.
If you're in Barron's, you are not in great shape. It's my memory.
I think I tipped
a cigarette machine over there trying to work out how to operate it at one stage. And you know what? No one batted an eyelid. The Cross. We miss the Cross, don't we? Was it the bourbon and beefsteak? Yes. Was that a legendary bar?
Ricky Ponting. Ricky
Ponting got the World of Strife. There, you got any others, Kat?
I've got North Bondi RSL is my favourite.
You love
but also,
that.
I love that now, but back in the day, do you remember Shark Bar?
No.
It was right across the street from these studios on Castlereagh. And they actually used to have a live shark in a tank behind the barmaids that would circle.
No way.
As they, and then obviously animal cruelty became an issue.
Boo, yeah.
Because it was a thumping nightclub and this shark was just like in this tank.
What type of shark?
It was like a Port Jackson or something like that. Like not a massive like great white or anything like that. But
that would have been great.
Great ambience.
All right, Phil's on the line. Phil, what's the pub, mate?
It's got to be Scruffy Murphy's, mate.
Oh.
Has to be.
Right across the road from us here.
What do I need to know about Scruffy Murphy's?
Look, schooner of Guinness, black gold, mate, black gold.
Oh, yeah, a baked dinner.
Black gold, all right. Well, I think we need more than they just...
Isn't it 24 hours?
Yeah, it is.
Well hello, now there you're talking.
It used to be. We used to drive into work and it would be pumping. And now it's kind of... each morning it's no one there, but, I mean, that's a... It's literally 50 metres from where we're standing right now, so it's
a
great
You seem to know a lot about it, but you're off there after most shows, are you? Yeah, I go across there after every show and there's no one there.
And yeah, quick couple.
Then. Aaron's on the line. Aaron, what's the pub, mate?
The Cricketer's Arm down at Blacktown.
Oh, yes.
Yeah, good pub.
What do I need to know about the Royal Cricketer's Arms in Blacktown, mate?
Beer's cold and in winter time there's a fireplace in every room.
Yeah. I love a fireplace in a
fireplace.
Pub. One of my favourite pubs in Melbourne is a pub called the All Nations, and it's a beautiful little... It's quite famous. Dick Pratt got himself... One of his deals was done at the All Nations Hotel because it's very private and small and very clandestine. And it's a beautiful little pub, but it's right opposite the Housing Commission's, which is a quite notoriously rough area in North Richmond. And I remember sitting in there one day going, gee, I love this pub. And anyway, a bloke walked in and he'd been stabbed. Oh. And he said to the publican, he goes, "Mom, mate, I've been stabbed. Can you call the cops?" He goes, "Public phone in the corner, mate." and there's a guy standing there holding his stomach with one hand, dialing with the other. Oh, gee, this is a good pub. Greg, what do you got, buddy?
Oh, it's got to be the Three Weeds at Balmain, mate. Used to be known as the Rose, Shamrock and Thistle.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, beautiful.
And why'd they change it to Three Weeds?
Well, gee, we're Aussie.
easy to say, too.
I get it. Oh, there's your winner, Kat.
Oh, well, well done. You've scored yourself a high-pressure washer from Edison's, Greg.
Oh, wow.
And I tell you what, we needed one of those at the Paddington RSL.
ACDC. Hi, this is Angus Young from ACDC. Yes. Live in London at Wembley Stadium. Triple M. Triple M.
Hell's Bells.
Yeah.
You heard him. You on the line. Get involved. Nathan, how are you, buddy?
Hey, how you going, Nick?
Not as good as you, because guess what, mate? You are now officially into the draw for the tickets to Akka Dakka at Wembley Stadium. There it is, two tickets, Wembley Stadium, return flights, transfers in London, four nights accommodation, spending money. Boy, it's all just at your fingertips now. You're so close, Nathan. Are you a big fan?
Oh, big fan. Saw them when they came out last time at Homebush. So.
Yeah.
They never fail to impress. One of the great live gigs of all time. You're on the running for one of the best prizes we've ever offered. Nathan, who are you going to take if you get the chockies?
Gonna have to take
the missus, and you probably want to couch it in better terms than that.
Yeah.
Well done, Nathan, and everyone else who rang. Hey, it's not over.
No.
Keep ringing. We're going to keep doing it. People are going into the draw. You listen out. You hear the bells, and you get on the blower. Simple as that.
MG Sport Report.
Yeah, round 7 is in the can in the NRL, and when I'm looking at the displays of all the teams over the weekend, I've got a zero in on the Parramatta Eels because they travelled to Darwin against an understrength Dolphins team. At halftime, they were winning 8-4. After 45 minutes, they were winning 10-4. Then all of a sudden, 8 tries in 25 minutes was scored against them. I have never seen a bigger capitulation from a rugby league team in my life.
I was watching that second half, and I thought I was watching a highlights package because the tries were coming that thick and fast. I go, oh, what am I doing? Is this one of those minis? I go, no, it was the actual game. They just kept – well, Matt, was the weather a factor? Would they have –
I can cut them some slack with that, Mickey, but both teams obviously got to play in such – it was 32 degrees when they kicked off, and it was the humidity was around 90%. But they were leading at half time. So maybe if they started the game fatigued, and they would have said that the humidity played a part, but something's happened. I don't know what's happened. In that second half, they put the white flag up, and I've never seen a team put a flag up like they did. Obviously, all the comments now are going to come from, you know, is Brad Arthur's job safe?
Is that overreaction or real?
He's in the headlights. Put it that way. He's definitely in the headlights. Can he do a lot of the questions around Brad Arthur? Are can he get any more out of this team that he's done? He's made the countless final series. He's been, you know, but I think the team just needs a complete overhaul. They need change at the moment. And at the moment, they haven't got it. They're sitting in 14th position on the ladder on 6 points. They should be a lot higher than that.
Obviously. And what about the Dolphins? At the start of the year, you weren't that keen on them. You had them as one of your blowouts this year.
I thought they'd get the wooden spoon, the Dolphins, to be honest, with such an aging roster. But, man, they're sitting third on the ladder. They're looking fantastic. They just came out of unearthing stars. And quickly overnight, the world was in shock when Ryan Garcia, who's been basically so erratic leading up to this fight against Devin.
People have been worried about him.
Everyone was worried about his mental health. Well, he won in a unanimous decision yesterday. One of the judges had the score 112-112 all, which I watched the fight, and
that's
the
ridiculous.
Two judges had it was 114-110, 115-109. But this is what
he got knocked down 3 times.
First time in his career. First time Haney in his career has been knocked down. This is what Garcia had to say post fight.
This is why people need to stop believing everything on the internet and stop, you know, living in a false reality. At the end of the day, there's a lot of real shit going on. Y'all was tripping, not me. You guys were tripping. I was the one that was actually with sanity because I don't give a fuck what people say about me.
That's right.
I walked through the fire and still held it down and still beat Devin Haney and still drank every day and still beat him. Hey, what happened? False reality, right? Drank every single night, went out on the first Monday and a Tuesday and drank. What happened? I won.
Jeez.
Wow. A new study examines the changing face of etiquette from baby boomers to Gen Z. Here to break it down for us, Natasha Belling. I had no idea there was such variation between the generations when it comes to etiquette, politeness, manners, etc.
Well, this is interesting. Almost all 92% of baby boomers will return their shopping trolley compared to just 78% of the youngest cohort, which is Generation Z, those born between 1995 and 2009.
Bastards.
Mm.
Right, and that compares to what? Like, are you saying younger generations are not returning their
shopping
trolley?
They're not returning the trolley, and it does my head in. Yep. I return it every single time to the bay, and I use a coin because I won't pay for the little thing they sell at Woolies.
Yeah, true.
Wow, you are quite extraordinary. What generation are you, brother? You're a boomer.
Yeah.
You're a super boomer.
I'm post-war, 1947.
You're into war, eh?
Well, there you go. And what other fascinating points is there to unpack here?
Okay, RSVPs, remember those things? Now, baby boomers are best when it comes to replying to invitations, with 80% saying they do reply, while it's much more than the younger generations. They just don't RSVP.
No.
What about this one? Is it Gen Z want you to text them beforehand to let you know what you're going to be ringing about?
Yes.
I see that all the time.
It's rude just to pick up the phone and use it for what it was designed for, i.e. communicating with someone directly.
Yep.
So you now have to text them first to let them know what it is you'll be calling.
Well, I have done that a few times with my kids. I go to ring them. And I'll say, then they'll text me back saying, what do you want? I'll say, well, answer the phone and I'll tell you what I want.
Here's an interesting one. 61% of the old generation say they avoid bad language in public, compared to less than half of the younger population. Does that ring true for you?
Yeah, a lot 100%. More swearing these days. A lot more swearing.
I remember when I was at the bowling clubs researching Cracker Jack, and I was having a load of fun. I was drinking a load of cheap beers, meeting lots of interesting people. But all the blokes, I'm at the bar one day, and these blokes are swearing like troopers. Yeah, you know, the old blokes, F and this and F and that, and da da da. Anyway, then a couple of the ladies came up and joined us. And so I've joined in going, an F and this and F and that. And one of them clipped me in the ear. He goes, not in front of the ladies, young fella.
Oh, wow.
So they had their etiquette was you can go for broke not as long as the girls aren't around.
Yeah.
Anything else we've noticed from the survey?
Appointments. So when you go to appointments, this is interesting. Baby boomers, 75% will arrive at the appointment on time or earlier compared to just 53% of Generation Z.
That's terrible.
They're always late.
Yeah, we're giving the boomers a big rap here, but I suppose they've got more time to have good manners considering they've hoovered up everything in the country and they're sitting around one of their three homes and they're doing nothing other than thinking, how can I return my shopping trolley? you selfish pricks. But you know what was the biggest problem? With the introduction of the mobile phone, killed punctuality. And I'm a huge fan of this. I go, I don't care who you are. If you make a meeting and you make an appointment, you get there on time. But the mobile phone now just means you get a text 5 minutes before the 9 o'clock meeting going, I'm sorry, I'm caught in traffic.
Yes.
Oh, mate, you're not going to believe it. The trains are running. Whereas in the old days, if you weren't there, you weren't there and you'd miss the meeting. Mm-hmm. Yep. You wouldn't sign the documents. You wouldn't be there. But now it's okay to be half an hour late. Mm-hmm. You can waste someone else's time because you've got a mobile phone in your pocket. All right.
You're starting to sound like a baby boomer.
I know. Old man yells at clouds.
Take your trolley back, brother. Take your trolley back.
Every so often you hear a story and you're just not convinced it's true, and then you find out it is. Are you guys Neighbours fans? Do you watch Neighbours?
Yes.
I used to be.
Not anymore.
It's kind of drifted off.
Yeah.
How many times has it been brought back from the dead? I thought they've had their final episode twice now.
Yeah, they do.
Now they've rebooted it.
Well, shocked to find it's back, and boy, has the storylines got a little out of hand. What do you call this? MG, you call this jumping the shark?
Yeah, remember Happy Days were famous for it when Fonzie put his boxer shorts on and leather jacket and jumped over a shark, and everyone stopped watching it after that.
That was the moment.
Every series has one. I think this is Neighbours series because this is a disgusting story.
Well, yes, because Dr. Carl becomes a poo jogger. Well, no, you heard that
he
right.
Does.
Well, I don't know which other way to say it. But he goes cycling around the neighbourhood, can't control his bowels, and runs off and parks a loaf in the bushes. And this has become a bit of a thing. The people are confused and horrified and disgusted. Now, we got this is the promo. And by the way, we haven't touched this or meddled with this.
This is
how they're promoing Neighbours.
Oh, speaking of cheese, how are you, Belma? Rightio, moving on.
Yeah, well, that's what happened, all right.
Are you sure?
I thought you must have had a flat tyre.
It's true.
What? What is that really on? Imagine if Harold Bishop became a
poo jocker. Oh, that would have
been a trombone.
So Carl Kennedy has a persistent problem of bowel movements while practicing his newfound love of cycling.
It's now, true.
Open some windows in the riders' room. Seriously,
I know
they have lost their minds.
Can I be honest? I'm okay with this because he cheated on Susan in Neighbours, and he deserves everything he gets.
They've all cheated on everybody. These guys, haven't they?
No, Neighbours is very wholesome, mate.
No, it's not.
The thing that happened was every time someone got left the series, they went to Queensland. Remember that?
bring back Bouncer.
Well, Bouncer got hit by a car.
Then he didn't he all of a sudden reappear in another episode, or was it, and they found out it was his pup, or his or her kid or something. It was
my lord.
Good storyline.
They get out of hand occasionally, don't they? Harold Bishop returned from the dead, remember?
That's
he was
right.
dead.
Yep. Days of Our Lives.
What happened there? Someone got amnesia and thought they were 16.
That's right. Amnesia. That happens a lot in soaps.
Amnesia can get you out. Yeah. I remember a series of Dallas. An entire series was erased.
Yep.
When Bobby Ewing, in the first episode of the series, gets out of the shower and the whole thing turns out to be a dream.
Yes. And the JR.
Remember that? Do you remember Dallas? JR Ewing was the big character. Ewing.
Larry Hagman.
Who was, remember, he drank so much he needed another kidney and then we started drinking again.
Larry
Hagman, also from I Dream a Genie.
That's right.
Yes.
Imagine that storyline today. So what happens in the show? Well, there's a chick and a guy keeps her in a bottle and she grants him wishes. Okay. Not sure that's going to fly.
No.
So what have we got these days? A guy toddling off of the bushes to take a dump. Well done, everybody.
Menacing from the butcher. He's brutal. Nikita Zoom. Down goes Stahl. Uppercut is a beauty from Zoom. Oh, bloodied and beaten the tough Bo Melbourne. Two goes Zoom.
Oh, yeah. Nikita Zoo declared that he wants to get bloody in his upcoming fight against Danilo Creati this Wednesday night at the Horton Pavilion. And I'm glad to say, people and listeners, that the Butcher joins us now on the Brekkie Show. G'day, Nikita. How are you, my brother?
Hey, guys. Thanks for having me.
Mate, thank you for having us. Mate, it's what can you tell us about your opponent this Wednesday night, Creati?
He's an Italian. He's going to be a little bit tricky. He's going to be quite evasive, and I'm going to be on the hunt.
How's your training camp been?
It's been good, as usual. Every training camp is kind of a little bit different, and there's been new things learned each time around, and I'm in a very good position at the moment.
I hope it all goes well for you this Wednesday night at the Horton Pavilion. We're in the super welterweight division. This is going to be a ding-dong classic. How's your preparation? What are you eating? I need to know what you're getting up to in the kitchen. I'm going to play you a grab. I heard this from your own social media, and we'll get you to discuss it. Go.
When I cook steak, I'm going to start always cooking now pineapple. When you pair a steak and a grilled pineapple, the balance of those two flavors, it's like an orgasm. It takes you to a new world. I remember trying it for the first time, I was like,
finish in the ring, I want you to have your own cooking show, MasterChef style. How did you stumble across this combination?
You know, I was on a weekend and I just thought of the idea. Well, I grilled pineapples beforehand, but I never thought about putting them together with beef.
Genius.
I got some very expensive beef, some high grade Wagyu, I thought it was the perfect occasion for it. So, just kind of stumbled across it.
Well, you're not frightened. You're not frightened in the ring. You don't take a backward step, and you don't do it in the kitchen either. You've incorporated spleen, heart, and bull's testicles over the journey. Now you've got pineapple with meat. I can't wait to see what kind of energy you burst into the ring to this Wednesday night.
Oh, yes.
At, at the Horden. This is going to be great. Are you got a prediction? Do you like making a prediction for us? Are you going to knock this bozo out early? Are you going to take him to the distance? What's the plan?
Look, I don't like making predictions, but I'm always prepared for the longest and hardest possible fight. But if I see a chance to have a little early mark, I'm going to take it.
Well, we watched you fight live in Melbourne where you did just that. Oh, yeah. You came into the arena, of course, to YMCA. We love to ask. You sometimes don't tell, but have you picked your entrance music for this Wednesday night?
Yes, I actually have. I don't know if it's gotten approved yet by Model, but it's like a rock classic.
Ooh. Oh, all right. Well, we might get our listeners to see if they can't try and guess what you're up to. I'll tell you what we do know.
I bet you no one can't. No one will figure it out.
All right, I'm going to go with It's Raining Men.
No. That's a good
girls
one, mate.
Just want to have fun. Girls just want to have fun. No? Well, I'll tell you what we do know. Every time you step into that ring, you mean business. And if this bloke doesn't bring his A game, he's going to find out very quickly what it's like to step in with the big boys. It's glad to hear your training's going well. All great. We want to see some blood. You're thirsty for blood, aren't you?
He loves his blood.
I am, especially at this point now when I'm cutting weights. I'm a little bit depleted. That's like the only thing that's on my mind.
All right. Well, we look forward to seeing the weigh-in. We look forward to seeing the entrance music. And we look forward to seeing you do what you do best, which is go bonkers in the ring. Can't wait to speak to you afterwards, Nikita. And good luck this Wednesday night, Horden Pavilion. I will be there with bells on.
Thank you. Appreciate it, guys.
What the f*** is going on?
God, you are dumb.
What the f*** is wrong with you?
Making MJ's what the f***?
WTF?
According to leading fashion editors, white jeans are back.
Oh, what yes.
Yes.
Wow.
Yes.
No.
White jeans.
What a big call that is. Anyone here own a pair of white jeans?
I do.
Never.
I used to, but the hemorrhoids don't let me anymore.
Yeah, I think there's a certain age for men when the white jeans ship sails.
When is it? About 8?
No, about from 17 to 21, I wore them when I was really hot stuff, but not anymore. No.
Do you ever own leather pants?
No, never leather pants. No.
Yes. I had a pair of black leather pants, which I'm sorry to say. Once belonged to my girlfriend's hairdresser.
Sorry, what?
I don't want to go into it here. But
you are an onion. You are.
What?
Let's just say I looked like a young Michael Hutchins, swanning around in me leather derps.
Oh.
White jeans no good for anyone. I mean, I put on a pair of white jeans, I'd look like Merv Hughes. Yeah, might as well have a cricket ball stain coming down one side.
Oh, jeez.
That's not good for anyone. I'd have to wear a poncho and ride a donkey.
Yep.
That's what'll happen to me. MJ, what have you got? What have you got?
I've got a fact about an Australian man. How long do you think it would take if you typed out 1 to 1 million in words, not numbers?
What do you mean? In words?
Well, Australian man typed every number from 1 to 1 million in words, not in numbers, on his typewriter. Mm-hmm. It took him 16 years and 7 months to finish.
Okay. I'm just going to say, what a dickhead.
What an idiot.
Like, what a waste of 16. I wonder what have you achieved, mate?
No, nothing.
Is he a nut? Who is it? Does he work on this program? Who is it? Is it you?
It's Glenn Belling.
Oh, because he just wants to spend time with me.
Needs a distraction. Needs something to do while his wife's blabbering away.
And he did it with headphones on. He did it with headphones on as well. But once, 16
years and now he's marching on to a billion. Why would you do that? I'd like to know more. Then now you have piqued my interest. That's a good one. $200 to you. Now, Kat, what about you?
A Brazilian woman has been arrested after wheeling her dead uncle into a bank to co-sign for a loan.
What the f***?
Yes.
Weekend at Burning Style.
This woman...
Weekend at Westpac.
Yeah.
She's wheeled him in a wheelchair.
He didn't look well and has rolled up to the counter and has said, oh, my uncle's here. I need a loan for over $2,000 and he's going to co-sign with me. And the bank teller went, he doesn't look great. He looks a little pale and he's not moving. And so she grabbed his hand with a pen and co-signed and then was talking to him at the same time. He obviously was not responding.
Tell me this. At what stage was he at? I mean, had she dug him up? Was he like covered in dirt?
Recent. It was very recent.
I believe.
Okay. I think that was a joke. Yeah. You don't need to take that seriously.
That was a rhetorical question, was it?
Boy, if she dug him up, prized the lid off the coffin and blowing the dust off the corpse.
They do believe he'd been dead for a week, though.
Shivers.
Yeah, sorry, I brought the mood down. My bad.
Shivers.
All right. Well, Tash, we'll get you after the break, but 133353. Yeah, well, it's been too long. We spent too long talking about Glenn.
And typing numbers.
We'll be back. 133353, get involved. Wow. I have just witnessed one of the great conversations of all time as the girls discuss how ugly Billy Joel's daughter is or not. Now, true or false?
Earphones are playing up. I've lost all audio.
That is not true. You take that
unbelievable.
Back.
Well, I believe photos have been shared.
Yeah.
And what did I say? I don't want to throw anyone under the bus here, but someone
was suggesting, just for the argument's sake, say Natasha Belling was suggesting
That is not true. I said she's a wonderful, kind person with a lovely personality.
Billy's ugly.
No, and we agreed Billy was ugly and Christy Brinkley's beautiful.
Yeah.
Right?
Yes.
But that's the problem you get when... You cross-pollinate like that. Remember, I think it was George Bernard Shaw. Remember, the apocryphal story is Marilyn Monroe said to George Bernard Shaw, we should have a baby. Imagine if it had my looks and your brains. And he went, yes, well, also imagine if it had your brains and my looks. Which appears to be supporting your theory in regard.
You should write a book.
All right. I'm going to go and do a deep dive on Paddington RSL. Full story tomorrow.
I don't do that.
Brilliant.
God, you are not.
What the f*** is wrong with you?
Making MJ's what the
WTF?
That's cool.
Have we just done yours, Tash, or did you want to have a go?
No, I think she's done one.
This is another one. British passengers drink an entire plane dry within 25 minutes into their flight.
There it is. 25 minutes into a flight. How long was the flight? Was it like a 24-hour long-haul flight? Or
it was a long-haul flight. Were you on that flight?
Right. I would have made them divert that plane
back home
to the nearest bottle shop. I'd have made them land on a suburban street and got out and run into a pub. There's no way I'm going the full distance on that thing. Hey, Tim's on the line. Tim, what do you got for us?
If you spend 20 minutes a day on the toilet at work, by the end of the year, that's 2 weeks free.
What the f***? Are you calling us? Are you on the toot right now, Tim?
Yes.
No.
Not. I can't do the maths right now, but that would seem to add up. That's 2 weeks of free leave just by,
20 minutes on the toot.
Just by backing one up.
It's a long time. You wouldn't get away with that.
No.
I'm getting thumbs up from our fact checkers who look like they've got at least 2 weeks free leave coming up. All right, Tim, well done. Jared's on the line. Jared, what do you got?
How are you guys?
Good, mate.
Yeah.
So dead people can still get goosebumps.
What the
f***? Hey, what?
Why? And how's that work? So I would have thought when you're dead, your whole system's stopped. What are you getting goosebumps from? Like, what are you getting?
Signing loans or something, maybe?
Oh,
referral to my earlier story. Yes. Well done.
So
I like it, Jared. Not bad. Andrew's on the line. What have you got?
Hey, fellas. First of all, Tash, I think the Barmy Army were on that flight.
Yes, they probably were.
Okay.
Good point.
Oh, pity it didn't go down then. Pity we're not listening to a black box recording of that right now. What do you got, Andrew?
Uh, The word that defines a fear of long words is a very long word itself.
What's the word?
What the f***?
The hippopotamonstrous sesquipedaliaphobia.
Oh, what the f***?
Mm. Oh, well, this is going to test our fact checkers. Yes! 200 bucks, Andrew, your way. Well done, buddy.
Oh, my legend.
A late breaking, what the F? Ooh. A ram, that's right, it's like a male sheep that killed an elderly couple on their property in New Zealand was shot by police after it confronted them too. Here it is. That is a major crime in New Zealand.
How did that happen?
A whole sheep, an elderly couple, and the offender being shot. It's now the subject of a true crime podcast.
Welcome to another chilling episode of The Fleecing, where we delve into the darkest corners of this sheer true crime. And this story will send shivers down your spine. Picture this, the tranquil New Zealand countryside, where rolling hills and grazing sheep paint a picturesque scene. But beneath this facade lies a murder that will haunt this sleepy town forever. April 2024, two bodies were discovered in a paddock, lambushed and brutally murdered, their faces frozen in terror. And the most shocking detail of all evidence pointed to an unlikely culprit, the ram. So many questions. Was it his relationship to the victims? Was he just in a bad mood that day? Had listening to too much Ed Sheeran pushed him over the edge? Was he influenced by watching too much Rambo on YouTube? Had he killed him with his signature move, the lamb chop hooyah? This seemingly clear-cut case was sure to see this ram behind bars. These secret recordings were captured soon after the incident.
So, Ram, what have you got to say for yourself?
Oh, crap. Well, that's the end of that, I guess. Okay, well, join us on the next episode, The Stakes Are High, where we investigate the criminal actions of a jerky of a cow, infamously known as The Butcher.
Oh boy. That's frightening stuff.
MG's Sport Report.
Yeah, I spoke earlier of the Parramatta Eels capitulation in Darwin against the Dolphins. Well, yesterday we saw something similar for the Newcastle Knights against the Bulldogs. It was more so the fact that Kalen Ponga played yesterday. It was evident he was injured, not only the hip, but now he's also injured his foot, which is... thankfully, they've ruled out a Liz Frank injury, which is pretty bad ligament injury to the foot, which could see him out for ages. But honestly, when you see a bloke running out from the tunnel onto a game and he's kind of pronounced limp, I don't know.
Outrageous.
I don't know why he played in that game yesterday. I for the life of me, I don't know, Mick. I don't know why. And
that's a pretty bad management, I would have thought, and head should roll. Someone, whoever from the medical department who's okayed that, as you said, a guy limping onto the field of battle is not a great look, and I don't know what you can expect.
The only thing I can think is that he might have tried to be noodled up and that the noodle didn't work, but and there was a bit of a kerfuffle in the tunnel yesterday when
I saw that. Was it two sin bin players? What happened there?
Well, they both got sin-binned, and Reid Marnie went off. Jack Hetherington went off first. He then waited for Reid Marnie to come in, and when he came out, they both had smiles, and one had smiles on his face, but I think it could have got pretty serious pretty quickly. And it reminded
that could have kicked off pretty quickly. I would have thought if you're going to sin-bin two players at the same time, you don't let them walk down the tunnel together. Is that just being silly?
They don't, because yesterday Hetherington got Simbin first, and then about 2 minutes later he was in the dressing room. He heard Reid Marnie coming up the race and didn't come out to greet him. So yeah, look, not a good look. The NRL investigating, but yeah, I don't think there's much to see. Move on.
How many weeks on the sideline for Ponga?
Not sure. He left scans this morning, and the hip flexor that he took into the game with him, I think he'll get over that. But this foot injury that he's occurred on the weekend is the main one that has concern for. Without knowing, I'd say at least 2 or 3 weeks.
Well, there you go. That's a shame because it'll be a while since we see his post-match interviews, which I've really come to know and love.
Were you thinking that you might have to come off, or were you pretty determined to stay on?
Oh, I'm never going to pull myself off. That sounds a bit weird, but I was never going to come off myself.
Maybe that's how he injured himself. And we've been joined live in the studio by friend of the show, Dom Knight. How are you, Dom?
Yeah. Good morning. Lovely to be here. It's been an emotional
weekend.
Can
I start? Can I start just for you? I just want to mention this. Obviously, the big story of the last week or two, obviously, has been the Bondi Junction and the shootings. It was covered in detail. There was a vigil last night. We probably in a position where we're just about to put this into the rear vision mirror at least and move forward. But you on this program said something when in the aftermath which resonated obviously with the general public and indeed the Prime Minister. Let's have a listen to comments you made on this program.
Two guys who were at the gym that day, Damien Guerro and Silas Despro. I think Damien was the one who wielded the bollard. Mm. And we now know that the guy was trying to come up the travelator to an area where there were lots of kids.
That's right.
And it just makes me think, can we get passports to these guys? Quick, smart. What an amazing piece of work.
Well said.
And so it goes. And immediately the PM, obviously thinking along the same lines, has sprung to action. So well done to you for putting that out there into the universe.
I must say, it's a sign of the esteem in which Mick and MG in the morning is held. I think when the nation looks for answers and a better way to live, a better way to manage things like immigration, this is the show that we come to. But I was interrupted last time I was on by the PM. I know he rings most mornings. You don't have time to fit him in. But I guess they were listening and they heard what was going on. He's getting his footy tips from MG as well, I understand. So it's just nice to get to come on.
Take a mick on a pub crawl.
Exactly. A program that has the ear of the nation.
Well, we're mentioning a pub crawl. There's a story about a guy who's had went on a pub crawl for 100 pubs around Sydney. And I did ask the PM once, I think we've got the grab there, what I should do when I get to Melbourne. He said he'd take me on a crawl.
He did.
I would take you to Balmain to a pub crawl around Balmain because there are pubs at every corner.
You had me a hello, Prime Minister. So you and me are going to go on a pub crawl in one of those cars with a flag on the bonnet. Is that... can we do it?
Oh, well, we need security, don't we?
Yeah, Albo, that's me.
There you go, that's all set up.
I'm going to make that happen. But there has been a big pub crawl. We talked about it, an Englishman. How many pubs?
Yeah, 120 pubs, this guy, 69-year-old David Clarkson. Apparently he's an accountant, so he had it all spreadsheets and so on. He did it all on foot too, which is not... If you can walk after your 10th pub, that is not a proper pub crawl.
That's it.
Looking at the fine print, his rule was he had to drink 125 mil of water or juice or anything in each
Boo.
Pub. All I'm going to say is this. That is not how Bernie did it. No. That's not the way it works. What do you think a minibus is for? That's why they invented the minibus to do this. To me, it's a challenge to this show to knock off the 120.
I think we've got our next listener party has just been organised. One Greyhound bus, 30 lucky fans of the show.
And the Prime Minister at the final pub. Just going, well, you've done it. Congratulations. Chris Minns can come in as well and help with any noise complaints we get along the way. That sounds fantastic.
And what about old matey, who was the head of the National Party? Joyce.
Oh, Barnaby Joyce.
Barnaby Joyce. You've got to have him
he's
on.
He's driving the bus.
I guess you just start him on the non-alcoholic beers and see how long that lasts. And if there's any planter boxes along, I wonder if you can count a planter box. If you stop at one along the way, does that count as a venue for your pub crawl? I think Barnaby rules it does, doesn't it?
It does indeed. What Sydney stories, what big local stories have caught your attention?
Oh, look, mate, the city's at war. The city's at war, Mick, at the moment. It's humans against cockatoos. And I'm getting the distinct sense that the cockatoos are winning. This started in Stanwell Park down in the south, where a cockatoo figured out how to open a wheelie bin and get the delicious rotten food inside, right?
Oh, they're smart.
And this is the thing. They've been teaching each other. And so the knowledge has just been spreading up the coast. It's been seen on the northern beaches in Avalon. And here's the thing that's really fascinating scientists. Every suburb, they've got a slightly different technique. So they're doing all these different versions. And then all the locals are trying different techniques to stop them. And the traditional half brick on the wheelie bin, that doesn't work.
It doesn't work anymore.
How to flip it off. And people have even seen a crow and two cockatoos working together across the different kinds of species to get into the wheelie bin.
This is Shakespearean, this is. This is something's not right out there in the universe. This would be a great remake of the birds.
Oh, it would. Oh,
yeah. Yeah. But with cockatoos.
Yeah. Cockatoos.
It'd be noisier. Well, the birds that have speaking roles.
And a bit of underbelly as well. The crime syndicate just getting on top underbelly. Of this, which I like to see. But you remember probably the my favourite bit of Australian history is the Emu War, when the Australian Army tried to kill emus in the bush and lost twice. The emus absolutely never take on the birds. We've got to keep them happy. Let's put out, I reckon, compost bins for everyone with no lids. That's the only way to keep them happy. Because otherwise they'll be taking over. They'll be setting up. They'll be trying to take over the show before you know it.
Oh. Well, that's it. We could pay our newsreader less and probably less screeching from the cockatoo.
Oh.
Oh, don't worry, she'll be in for a ride of report in a second. Don't you worry about that. Also, we can't let you go without talking the latest in Sydney real estate. What have you found out?
I just love the ridiculousness of this. This is a garage. They described it as an oversized garage in Woollahra, right? So down near the water. It's a single car. So it's oversized compared to one car. You can't fit two in there.
Right.
Guess how much it's sold for?
To
own it. To own this for the title.
I'm going to say $200,000.
I'm going to say $1 million.
$500,000. For a single car. They're going, but it's got power in it. You could run an EV in there. $500,000. I wanted to move in with my family. I went to the auction, put in some bids. I got all excited about having our own place at last, and priced out of the market.
Went inside to consult the vendor who was sitting in a very expensive car
at the time. Absolutely. No, I can't.
$500,000. That's all you need to know about everything that's going on in this town. $500,000, and a guy's done a pub crawl and didn't drink any alcohol because he couldn't afford to. Imagine 100 pints. You're going to need a home loan.
That's right.
A second mortgage.
Yes.
Sell the kids.
Actually, you get the idea? Enough. That's why he didn't drink on the pub crawl. He couldn't afford to.
He
couldn't afford to. He's retired. Semi-retired. What are the Chaser up to, mate? I know you're taking the school holidays off, but you've got a podcast which is going bonkers.
The Chaser Report. No, I mean, look, this is big news for us at the Chaser, and I'm sure you can get on board this as well. My question is this. Who wants to sue for defamation after Bruce Lerman? I reckon you can say whatever you want for the next few weeks. Nobody's going to sue for defamation. Injure reputations all you like. It's open season, I reckon. Have at it.
There's a very, very popular podcast going around now on that topic with the Chaser Boys. Good on you, Dom. Thanks for joining us,
Dommy.
Mate.
Cheers, guys.
Mick and MG in the morning. Brought to you by Sportsbet. Nobody does it easier than Sportsbet. Mick and MG in the morning. Weekdays from 6 on Sydney's Triple M.